Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Finishing strong here in the fourth quarter. Petros, Seabolt, Jed Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go. That's what we are.
I didn't know how long I was supposed to keep it up.
Yeah, I don't know. 85, that's right. You correct me. I said 84. I was trying to correct you when you said David Glass 85 is 80. I thought, no, I think he's 84. Because, like, who has had their birthday yet?
People born on January
9th.
I just saw a release somewhere that said 85, so I just used that. I trusted somebody else's math. I didn't do any of my own.
I believe he passed on his 85th birthday.
Wow.
A week ago Thursday is what I've been told. So that'd be his 85th birthday. So 85 years old, Dayton Moore on the teleconference talking today. We'll let you hear a couple of things from the Royals general manager. Dayton said the news came earlier than he had expected.
He called on Christmas Day, and he sounded great. I mean, his voice was strong. He was upbeat, and he shared with me that he was headed to Florida the next day, the 26th of December, to spend time with family. Has been their tradition over the last several years, as you know. And speaking to Jeff Davenport, last week, 10 days ago or whatever, he had shared with me that, he had spoken to Mr. Glass and that Mr. Glass was planning on coming to spring training and had a group of his buddies all lined up, and he was looking forward to it. So now I think, we weren't expecting to get this news this early in 2020, that's for sure.
And what was said about the reasons?
Nothing.
I've read complication specific from pneumonia on one thing, but
that would line up with
abrupt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly was compromised that way, but a couple of days, that would sound like something would happen.
Of course, the Royals ultimately getting to the World Series, then ultimately winning the World Series, going in back-to-back years in 2014 and 2015. Dayton Moore talking about that, said he was happy that Mr. Glass got to experience the glory of those back-to-back appearances in the World Series and that 2015 championship.
I think we all celebrate the fact that we were able to watch Mr. Glass host that trophy in 2014 there on our field, the American League Championship trophy. And then the following year, to be able to raise the world, to hoist that World Series trophy on the stage there in the clubhouse at Citibank Field. It was an incredible feeling, and to watch his family enjoy the celebration of the parade and everything that came with winning a world championship. I mean, that made it truly special. I mean, look, we all want to make our bosses proud. We all want to honor our bosses, and you're no different. We're all wired the same, and to be able to see their family enjoy that World Series was special. And I remember, when we were playing San Francisco, we arrived, we were in the hotel in San Francisco. I forget which hotel it was, but I remember what a special moment. It's so fresh in my mind. Their entire family was in the lobby of the hotel. And we had an off day, I believe, in San Francisco. And just to see their family together and them greeting players and families and just enjoying all the circumstances surrounding, being in a World Series. because it's not easy to enjoy something like that, truthfully, when you're caught up into the competition of it and you want to win. You want to win it so badly once you're there. But to see their entire family celebrate, you know, made it a lot of fun.
I remember the shot of them after they won the pennant in 14, and they're on that scaffold at stage behind second base at Kauffman Stadium, and just looking at him and Dayton Moore standing there and with that trophy, and it seemed like I was watching someone else, you know, watching my dream. And what is this? It seemed so foreign, but you could see, you know, the look in David Glass's eyes and just what that meant, and to be able to get back and do it again and win it. I mean, I'm quite certain that will eventually be, is now, I think, and will always be the legacy of David Glass's years here. And there were some rough years, but there's a second trophy in that Hall of Fame. There's another big flag atop that hill.
Mm-hmm. Couple of them. I think the AL pennant, yeah, you know, is under, is, you know, there's two of them. There's, yeah, two flags and, yep, one the big one.
Yep.
And so, yeah, listen, David Glass's ownership was not sweet to start. Fans soured on him. I do believe, you know, I mean, David Glass is a very private guy, so I didn't get any whole lot of one-on-one chats early in his tenure. I was able to talk to him, get him on as a guest on the radio, and so I think I probably had the most conversations with him, maybe. You know, I think early on he wanted to change the game of baseball. I think he was Bud Selig's guy. Two of them were buddies. And Bud Selig wanted to change the economics of baseball. And I think he was more interested in – and I think his intent was to make the entire game of baseball better for a town like Kansas City. And I think along the way he realized that nobody else was going to pitch in. And he then turned it over and said, okay – We'll pay above slot money. We'll spend money in Latin America. We'll spend money knowing we're throwing some away. You know, I think Dayton Moore brought him into the modern era, and I think Dayton Moore was the one that explained to him, listen, you're not going to change what these guys do. This is what they do.
Right.
And you can see it right now.
Yes.
Big market clubs, Red Sox, getting busted for stealing signs. They've already got a huge advantage with the monetary system, yet they're still going to go out and steal signs. I think it's possible later we find out everybody in baseball is stealing signs. But nonetheless, and I think he convinced him. And I think then David Glass raised the payroll every year. And, you know, I said it so many times, you'd think I'd never forget it. But five or six consecutive years,
mm-hmm,
raised payroll. And as long as they were contending, he kept raising the payroll. And I think that's all you could ask for an owner. Started rocky, but in the end, I think he was an ideal. And I mean an ideal small market owner, because there is nothing, there is no reason to go out and just splash money aimlessly all over the place to then have your team come up short, which it's likely to do in most baseball seasons because injuries are such a big part of it, and then tear it all down and throw a tantrum the way the Marlins did every time,
right?
Because more enough people didn't come out. Yeah, I think he ran this club really well in the second half of his tenure. And with Dayton Moore, I think he learned a lot of lessons before Dayton Moore. I think Dayton Moore's interview process taught him even more. And he was a model owner after that. And I think he should be remembered that way. And then, whether he was ill or not, the Royals, it sounds like Dayton Moore is continuing to maintain that he wasn't. Right? There were reports that he was. Whether he was or wasn't, when he left, he made sure that the ball club went to a guy who's a Kansas City guy.
Yeah,
he took the club to keep it in Kansas City. While he personally, I do think that the renovations, they allowed others, both the Chiefs and Royals, to hint at potential movement. But they themselves never threatened moving, neither the Chiefs or the Royals.
Nope.
So both I always appreciate that from both the Hunt and Glass family. They never acted like they were going to move that club. He took it over to keep it in Kansas City, and he handed it off someone to keep it here as well. And along the way, he won two pennants and a world championship.
It's a pretty good 20 years. I mean, it isn't far-fetched for people who are maybe younger listening to this to look back and say, if not for David Glass, this team might not be here. I don't think that's that a stretch, because the elements existed where that scenario could have played out, and it didn't.
Yeah, I agree.
Largely because of him.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We will come back. We're still trying. Kevin Harlan is trapped on a plane.
I can't even imagine. I don't like being on a plane when it's moving, much less when it's sitting.
He apparently has been stuck on the tarmac in Kansas City for more than 2.5 hours now. And so if I were the crew, I'd give him the phone and let him start making announcements in there just to liven the mood.
He's doing play-by-play of the drink service.
Yeah. So, all right, we will take a break. Either Kevin Harlan or we'll start hearing from Travis Kelce. He had a lot of interesting comments today. Frank Clark as well. In some way, shape, or form, we're going to talk Chiefs football next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
He's really good. And I don't know if you know this. He's kind of a colorful fellow that also creates some interest that makes it fun.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Who was the last team to be favored by at least 7 in a conference championship game and lose?
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you, those teams are 29-6.
29-6?
Mm-hmm. But 5 of the losses have happened in the last 15 games of that nature. They were 19-1 through 1980.
Broncos to the Ravens, maybe?
Got the right winner.
And an AFC Broncos over Chiefs? No, you said the last one.
No, I'm sorry. Got one of the two teams right.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
Winning in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Broncos Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Pats Ravens, 2012.
Oh, the Broncos was the divisional one. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And then they the Ravens took them down. Wow, okay. All right.
So there is history on the Chiefs side, although the recent history isn't as quite as good as the overall history. Still 10-5 over the last 15, 29-6 overall since 1970.
So you like the Chiefs' chances is what you're saying?
If history it looks better, you'd want to be the Chiefs rather than the Titans.
It's confirmation that the odds makers have a pretty good idea of what they're doing.
They do.
7-point favorites are 29-6. What win percentage is that? I'll figure it out here. I know I picked up my phone for a reason. It was to get the calculator. 83%.
And between, if you cut it down, because that also takes
into
account.
And by the way, 82% is what the Chiefs were said to be to win it when they were a 10-point favorite.
Yeah.
So they've been winning at a clip higher than what that point spread would tell you. Of course, some of those spreads might have been 10 or 11 or 12.
Right, that's the thing. I broke it down.
It's over 7.
I broke it down between 7 and 9.5. So at least a TD, but less than 10. And they are 17-4 straight up, 14-7 against the spread. And the four losers were the Patriots, as I mentioned, the Packers in 07 losing to the Giants, the Frozen Tundra, the Jags, who lost to the Titans in 99. They got blown up by Tennessee by 19 points. And then the infamous Giants over the 49ers in 1990.
God, they were that big a, big a dog? Really?
And were it not for a Roger Craig fumble in the final 2 minutes, they probably win that game, but he coughed it up.
So we're...
So 17-4 is what that is. It's not...
It's about 80%. Yeah, it's right about the same. It's a little more.
History suggests...
It's going to be 83-4%, somewhere like that.
History suggests a win.
Let's hear some of the guys at the podium today. Travis Kelce at the podium today had a number of interesting things to say, as he usually does. He was asked what makes him so confident that Patrick Mahomes will be great this Sunday.
I don't know if you've seen him play before, but he can play the game, and it's a lot of it is preparation, and then a lot of it is just natural instincts that he's been able to build over the course of his life. You know, he's very confident in how he plays the game, and he's very free in how he plays the game. But at the same time, every Monday comes around, he's in the film room. He's in Coach Reed's ear, the offensive staff's ear, trying to figure out what's the game plan so that he always has an answer for whatever the defense is throwing at us.
I think those two elements, the freedom and the diligence, at first blanch seem opposed, But one, I think, allows the other, don't you? The fact that he is so – one of the things that allows him to do the things, freelance things he does, is because he's so prepared.
Yeah,
I think
he
can do
certain
things because he knows exactly what's happening.
Maybe it's the difference between – and listen, I'm not saying Brett Favre is dumb, but I think Patrick Mahomes is a really bright guy, right?
That's apparent.
I know Brett Favre liked him some nightlife early in his career. You know, we know he had problems with dependency in his career, and maybe Patrick Mahomes being this is – you know, maybe Favre would have looked like this. Because, you know, that was the thing. Because of the throwing approach, is the cannon of an arm, he was supposed to then just be Brett Favre. But people forget there's the arm and then there's the head, and it's the two of them together that make the quarterback. And the legs obviously factor in. Lamar Jackson's legs are a big part of it as well. But, he has all the positives of Brett Favre, but seems to have none of the negatives.
None. He's as far from, the last guy you'd think. I'm sure he likes to have fun, but he's not the kind of guy.
Oh, we've seen videos of him in bars. But, he's not allergic to going out.
No, but he's not.
But we also haven't seen him falling down.
No.
But I've seen videos of Kansas City athletes being carried out by their teammates.
Yeah. And that ain't ever going to happen.
And they were quite popular people, by the way. Didn't ever really blow up big, but, and we have not seen that from him.
No.
I think that's a great point, Curtis, that the preparation and his ability to know what's coming, to have seen the field and anticipate, to see the pre-snap reads and know what's probably coming, and then to add his athleticism and his great talent with his arm is why he is that good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Kelsey. I don't know if you've seen a play.
I guess Kelsey had made a comment earlier in the week or last week about, you know, he's the best quarterback in the league and he's going to show you again on Sunday. Well, how do you know that? How do you have that confidence? Well, if you've seen him, play, haven't you?
Yeah,
I like it.
All right, there was a play we talked about it a couple days ago with Seth Kizer, and he breaks it down in his video at The Athletic of a Kelsey out and then up. And Seth does a great job of freezing there, showing you a snapshot of the video where Kelsey hasn't even broken it up, but Mahomes is already in his throwing motion. He's clearly going to throw it out in front of him and let Kelsey run under it. That's the kind of combination, the kind of connection that creates great moments, like you saw on that play. Kelsey asked about being on the same wavelength with Mahomes.
I guess, I don't know. It's a luxury, really, because I am... There was nothing telling him on that specific route that I was gonna turn back inside. But at the same time, we were both on the same page. It's just a testament to this team's chemistry. It's not just me and him; it's everybody. And every Friday we try and find something for everyone to do so that we can keep building that and kind of enjoy the process along the way. And sure enough, I think everything that we do inside this facility and out benefits us on the field.
I think part of it was he knows he's not going to just keep running out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of it as more of kind of like a post than just an in.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to watch it again, though. I've heard a couple of people refer to it as going in. In my mind, I thought he was kind of more angling up and in. But, you know, to on the fly with 300-pound men flying around you, see that, okay, he's going to turn somewhere, and here's where he's probably going to go.
Yeah. And he also knows
it's an incredible recognition.
There's not a defender there, and if he does it, the ball's going to go. It's an expectation.
The spatial awareness that we talked about for a while this year.
If it's either going to be a completion or Kelsey's catching it and getting 15 yards.
And
he knows he has the arm.
It's either going to be an
incompletion. Or a big first down. He knows he has the arm to get it right where it needs to be, and he does.
Yeah, I think it's impressive. Kelsey was asked what it would mean to get Andy Reid to a Super Bowl.
Just getting him there isn't the goal. Winning this thing for him is. I'll leave it at that.
That was the last thing he said. Bit of a mic drop at the end, but
isn't that what you want to hear from him?
Absolutely. Because there is a lot of discussion about getting him there, and he just went, that ain't enough. I want to win it. Everyone wants to win it, but he just said it. That ain't the goal, man.
Are they a team of destiny now?
I don't.
Were they all year?
No.
Just battled injuries?
I don't believe in that concept.
not for anybody?
Mm-mm.
The 85 Bears weren't?
No, they were just a freak show combination of talent. I mean, there is. I do believe in a team just getting on a roll to the point where their performance outweighs their overall talent because there is a kind of a perpetual motion thing you can get up and get going. If you get rolling, that you can actually be better than you are. You're more than, you know, than that. But I don't necessarily believe in, you know, it's pointed out that maybe it's a semantic argument. To me, team of destiny means that team was destined to do it. I don't think this team's destined to do it. To some extent, I almost think team of destiny, it wasn't your intention, but team of destiny almost belittles the
ability to do it. Yeah, it's just like
they didn't do it because they were destined. They did it because they got the best team in football.
All right, so let me phrase it a different way. Do you believe that they are now the best team?
Yes.
They're better than the 49ers? Because that's most people's contention.
I think they are. I think they are better than both.
Do you agree that the consensus is that the 49ers are kind of the sexy team right now? Maybe it's because of Andy Reid's track record in the postseason that everybody loves to go to with not bothering might have been the cause for the track record, which, by the way, the track record, which is now, what, 2 under?
13 and 14.
13 and 14. One under 500 is not exactly a disaster.
No, yeah.
We've talked about it many times. NCAA tournament playoff records, when you lose, you can't get the win side going again until you win a whole bunch of regular season games and get back in there.
Yep.
And if you don't win the championship, everybody ends with one loss.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of
getting there a lot. I mean, the fact that he has 14 losses doesn't speak to the fact that he's a bad coach. It speaks to the fact he's been to the playoffs 14 times, at least 14 times, you know? And that's, you can't lose 14 if you don't get there 14
times
what, in 20 years.
What, with where they are right now and cap-wise, I think they're a couple million over next year already. Now, Sammy Watkins can be cut. You can trade Chris Jones. You can. There's all kinds of things that can and no doubt will be done before next year. But what is the expectation for this team as it sits here now with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, the talent base that they've got? You know, we're only a couple years away from people talking about Travis Kelce getting up there in years, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's at 30 now, right?
Seventh season? He's been there every year. Reed's been there, right? I mean, he had 1 year he didn't play. But he, age-wise, he has 6 seasons on his body.
He's like 29 or, you know, going to be 30, something like that.
He's 30. He turned 30 on October 15th, or October 5th, excuse me.
Okay. Yeah. So 30 years old. So we're a couple years away from that. I think, you know, no one's going to say anything going into the season at 30, turning 31. 31 turning 32, but 32 going to turn 33, they'll start to hear it.
Yep.
So, but what is the realistic expectation?
I think you go into every single season thinking if they don't make the postseason or don't, you know, win the division, unless there's some kind of injury, that it's a disappointment. I mean, I think the expectation is that they will be in the playoffs every year that he's there. And will make a legitimate run at the Super Bowl, getting there at least once every, you know, on average, once every 4 years, maybe. 3 to 4 years. They're going to be in it every single year. And if they miss the playoffs under him, it'll be like, wow, what went – it won't be, so-and-so happened. It'll be what went wrong. There'll be some other reason that you know, that probably doesn't involve the quarterback, that they didn't make it. Maybe he gets hurt. You know, that would be the one reason that would involve him.
Yeah, I think it's clear, you know, the playoffs are a no-brainer. I mean, they have to make the playoffs, but championship-wise, how many championships? How many times in the championship game?
Super Bowls or AFC championships? You said championships.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, okay. Super Bowl championships. I'm going to say, it's so weird because so much is expected of him, but from the fan base, they're so used to expecting it not to happen that those two things are conflicting. I think that will change if they win this year. I think the Chiefs' expectations of this era will change greatly.
We've done this before, like what Alex Smith had to do to be considered a success. He ended up checking those boxes. What, with the way they're set up right now, which isn't the best cap room, I think Brett Veach did a great job in clearing a lot of room this year, but there's still a lot to be done when you consider that you got to hang, most people think, upwards of $40 million a year around Patrick Mahomes here very soon.
Three Super Bowls, two wins.
I even go, you asked the other day, would you be satisfied with what John Elway did? 5 Super Bowl appearances, 2 wins. I'm with Kay. I think 2 wins is kind of where you set the expectation as far as wins in the Super Bowl, but probably 3-4 appearances I think is fair. One of the points that you raised real quick, though, talking about the cap construction and if Patrick Mahomes is going to command upwards of $40 million a year, one of the things that the Patriots did so successfully was be able to have Brady under team-friendly control because he's in a position where his wife makes more money than him. So I do think it'll be interesting to see if Mahomes is commanding such a big number, what the Chiefs are able to do cap-wise.
Now, I said 3-2, knowing that they're a prohibitive favorite, but certainly a measurable favorite to get one of those three. 48 hours from now, we'll likely know. It's 5:38 p.m. 48 hours from now, he'll have one or he won't have one. And I think he's going to have one. So one of those three will already be knocked off the board. And if they win, two, then
of the next 9 years, 10 years?
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, is 3-2?
2 appearances?
High enough because they're about
to get...
When you're already sitting here. So they're about to get the one of the three now. That's what makes it odd. So maybe 4-2 or... Well, to say 3 Super Bowl wins is tough to expect of anybody, but a couple of them, I think. Be a multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback, I think, is where the bar will be for
him. I would agree on that for sure.
And I know Rodgers got a later start because he was behind Favre, but how many Super Bowl, you know, how old was he when he got to his first Super Bowl? And was Green Bay sitting in the same position? They're like, oh, well, he went and won one.
Oh, yes.
They're going to go to, you know, four more.
And the next year he is 15-1 and rolling in as the number one seed,
and they haven't been back.
He's
going to go to half a dozen.
Yeah, that was the feeling.
And then there's
also the Dan Marinos. Mm-hmm. Who went to one and never made it back.
In his second year and never made it back, yeah.
Jim Kelly went to 4, didn't win any. You know, I mean, the strongest indicator of winning multiple Super Bowls is getting to a lot of them.
Yeah, and that's been Rodgers' problem. Is he's only been, I mean, he'd have more. They got close a couple times. They lost, I mean, the onside kick in Seattle. They're facing that Patriots.
The Elway story is really more realistic than the Montana and Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Which, since the salary cap, nobody's got, like, multiples without a loss.
Right.
You know? The 49ers and Steelers were really incredible assemblies of talent in addition to having Hall of Fame quarterbacks when they did it. But I think, you know, now in the salary cap era, you might be able to ride your quarterback in a year that you're really not good enough to win it. Maybe you do that a couple of times and you steal one or you don't get any of them. Then there's, you know, 4 years you're the best team. One time you get knocked off way too early. One time you get knocked off in the Super Bowl, and 2 other times you win it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's been pretty damn good. He's 2-1. He's made 3.
Because even the multiple ones, there is some retooling. It isn't the same team. The team he went to the Super Bowl with in 10 didn't really resemble much the team he went to and won it in 05, just 5 years earlier.
Peyton Manning's been tremendous.
Yeah.
Or was tremendous. Went to 4-1-2.
Yeah.
And those guys were tremendous. They were doing that in the shadow of Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots will still be there. Belichick, I think, is one of those coach till he dies guys.
Yeah.
Brady doesn't look like he's going to be there anymore.
Right.
Reports today that they cleaned out his suite at Gillette Stadium, where Gisele Bündchen would normally, part of his deal is he gets his own suite. They cleaned it out. And not like we took a couple of things home for the offseason. Like maybe like
gone.
Personal effects and decorations that were up in it are now not there.
The Elway thing is interesting in that. I don't know if we said this on the air in a break yesterday. Yeah, 5 Super Bowls and 2 wins is would be great, but would you want him in the process in the time frame that Elway?
Yeah, his last 2 years,
3 right out of the box and 3 losses, and then right as he walks out the door, he grabs a couple, and what would be his 14th and 15th. 15th and 16th seasons.
Is the quarterback more valuable now than it was during the Elway era, therefore giving us a more likely chance at multiple ones, or is it less?
Yeah, I think it's more valuable.
Because even look at Hall of Famers like Troy Aikman. He was, I mean, granted, again, a Hall of Famer, but he was playing with talent all over that team. You saw how an important part of, like, Emmitt Smith was to that team.
Right.
Aikman wasn't, they weren't writing Aikman to
again,
Super Bowls.
Again, pre-cap.
Yeah.
Right. But you talk about Elway, it's in that same time frame.
I just, you know, and Elway's 2 came under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And he was riding Terrell Davis for those Super Bowl championships and a great offensive line as well.
He was still making plays, though.
Yep.
I think, I don't know. I'm glad. You know, I think one thing that we can rest assured about is he's going to break the record on the contract. He's going to get the most per year. He's going to get the most guaranteed. He's going to get the most signing bonus. I think the Chiefs will gladly give him all that. Read a story about it today. I'm sorry, I forget where it was, or I'd give credit to whoever wrote it because it's an interesting piece. They talked to a number of personnel people that are like, you know, 40 or at least 37 and a half because, you know, they're at 35 right now. I think is our 36 right now is the highest average. And, you know, $110 million is the most guaranteed. And signing bonus most is like $72 million. And that they expect him to top all those numbers. But the first couple of years, that'll be rough for the Chiefs cap-wise. Later years, they'll start to be guys that are lesser quarterbacks getting more than him. It always happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, for
and,
sure.
And so that'll start to balance out some of the caps as well. And then guys that are just, you know, Ryan, what's Ryan Tannehill going to get? The Titans go, we got to have our quarterback. What's he going to get?
Something comparable to Nick Foles, probably.
Yeah, 20-something. And that's going to blow up the Titans cap because he's not a game changer.
Which is good.
But it's going to be just like the Alex Smith deal, yeah. So, listen, this is an important one. If there's going to be multiples, they need to cash while they have the extra cap room to cover mistakes. And that's what this team right here is supposed to be. So this is an important one.
Yep.
Grab this one, get it in the bank, and then when it gets a little bit tougher cap-wise,
they go for the, you know, go for two later.
Because, you know, it's going to be pretty hard for them to have Hill and Kelce.
Yes.
Right? In their prime. Two prime weapons. If you can keep one prime weapon around him, okay. But two prime weapons around his contract is going to start to get to be hard. And that'll be the real measure, right?
And it's which one.
Yeah, well, right now it's Tyreek Hill because of age and, you know, taking the top off. Although Travis Kelce's the guy who moves the sticks.
Sure does. Every time they seemingly need something, not every time, but
I think you take the 25-year-old. And he's signed for two more years.
Yeah.
So
and part of it, I mean, part of it obviously is the quarterback, but it stuns me. We talked about how many times we would see Tony Gonzalez when they needed third and six. And he
or actually three more years. It was a three-year extension after this year, wasn't it, for Tyreek Hill?
When he would still get open and make the catch. The number of times that Kelce runs that across, stop, go back the other direction, and the ball's right there, and the defender is flailing is like, it seems like they've run that play 500 times, and it always seems to work.
Yeah.
It's like either that play is indefensible, which is more what I lean towards, or NFL defensive coordinators are dumb.
Yeah,
and I'm going to lead towards they would have stopped it by now if it were stoppable because it is money. Every time he's in trouble, it's something. That cross, back, first down.
Well, you can't win multiple without winning the first.
Yep.
The goal is not just to get there. The goal is to win it. So we'll see if they can pull it off. We will take a break. We come back. We'll give you some things you need to know next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I don't know. I don't know.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Need to Know is brought to you by Five Farms Irish Cream. It may be chilly outside, but you can count on Five Farms Irish Cream to warm up your cup. Enjoy the smooth taste of Five Farms Irish Cream in your favorite mug this season. Stay cozy, Kansas City.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know.
All right, let's start with a little Frank Clark. I thought this was interesting. He was asked about what happened last year with the Chiefs, the game basically ending, or the Chiefs' chances. Mm-hmm. Chiefs sealing the deal on the Super Bowl, ending with the lined-up offsides call on D4. Clark asked about it. There was extra focus like that, extra focus on that type of thing because of last year's mistake.
No, honestly, that's not something we're even thinking about. If you line up, that's all, like you said, that's a mental mistake. That's something on yourself. You know, that's not you shoot yourself in the foot when you do things like that at the end of the day. It's football. The ball's right there. Simple. The ball's there. You put your hand behind the ball, and you're on sides, you know? And that's kind of how I've been playing football. That's why I haven't lined up off sides all season, probably all my career. And if I jump off sides, that happens. That's called – that's them battle wounds. You know, it's okay to jump off sides, you know, from time to time as a defensive end. But lining up off sides, it's inexcusable.
Inexcusable.
Now,
he wasn't talking directly to D Ford, but the question was specifically about what D Ford did. And lining up off sides, inexcusable.
Inexcusable. So ball's right there. You just line up behind it. Didn't seem to get where it was quite so difficult. The net, the latest net rankings are out. This is the NCAA's new mathematical formula that they're using. Mm-hmm. You know, RPI's out, you know, the different things that they want. They've got the net. They have released the top 10 for the net. Baylor, Kansas, 1-2.
Wow.
It's pretty good look for the Big 12.
Jet approves.
San Diego State, 3. Gonzaga, 4. Duke, 5. Dayton is 6.
There you go. Wow.
Butler is 7. West Virginia, 8.
3 of the top 8.
Stanford, 9. And Michigan State, 10. So Kansas, 3 losses, but not seemingly affecting them much. Only the loss to Baylor. Otherwise, they'd be the top seed.
Wow.
You okay with that?
I guess. I mean,
sure, they're going to play a tournament, so what the hell? Right. Who cares? Yeah.
How about San Diego State getting the love, man? Last undefeated team.
And they haven't beaten a whole lot.
No, they haven't. But still, to beat, I mean, January, what day is today? 17th? Pretty impressive.
No, I agree. It's definitely a great run. Not losing in basketball. You have bad days where the ball won't go in the hoop, you know?
The most anonymous eighth team with a notable coach. I mean, West Virginia, Bob Huggins is not exactly a wallflower. People know who he isn't. His team is 8. They're still 3rd in the conference. Like, almost no one, I hear almost no one talking about West Virginia.
No,
and they're,
I agree.
And they're
Dayton
right
got a lot
there,
of press because of the Maui Invitational.
Yep.
And ESPN continues to, you know, laud them. But you're not hearing much about Butler.
No.
And they're sitting at 7.
Yeah.
Stanford
they've
at 9.
Two title games.
Who's going to replace Bill Self if he goes to the NBA?
Jared Haas is looking a lot better.
Looking a lot better when Stanford's sitting at 9 right now, right? So, interesting. Latest net rankings. LeSean McCoy, illness. Matt Moore, illness. And Chris Jones with his calf are all being listed as questionable for Sunday's AFC Championship game. Clemson, Travis Etienne returning for a senior season. He announced that today. Hold your horses. There's going to be such a backlash on that. I mean, that kid's going to be a first 3 rounds. I mean,
yeah.
And expose himself to injury. Jeff Schwartz called it what?
Said that was
the worst decision ever. Worst business decision ever.
He said this is a mistake.
Yeah, this is a mistake. Georgia added former Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator Todd Monken to handle the same position on their coaching staff. LSU lost a couple of more players to early departure for the draft. Tight end Thaddeus Moss, of course, son of Randy Moss, and who had a monster day in the championship game, and linebacker Clavon Chaisson, both declaring for the draft. And Nebraska out. Troy Walters is OC. According to Bruce Feldman, they'll hire former Oregon OC Matt Lubick. Enjoy the game.
Jed Marshall.
Well, you couldn't finish your tweet before the Chiefs put another touchdown on the board. At least if you're Jed trying to stumble through your keyboard on your phone.
I'm high. Give me a break.
He means right now.
Curtis Seabolt.
I ate all my caps.
So, Ren Petro.
Commodore's ice cream. Dad!